Yeah, there we go. All right, so these calls are free and open to anyone. You don't have to be a member of the group to join the call. However, if you want to make any substantive contribution to any of the specs this group works on, you must be a member of W3C and a member of the Credentials Community Group, of which this is a task force. So if you want to make contributions and haven't joined yet, please reach out to myself or to Ildiko or to Simone, and we'll walk you through how to join. Let's see. We're bound under W3C NCCG Code of Conduct. We use Jitsi chat to queue up for questions. So raise your hand, and the bot will automatically add you to the queue, and we can go from there. First up, introductions and reintroductions. Is anybody new to the call today or haven't introduced themselves in a while and wants to say hello to everyone? All right. Next topic, are there any community announcements? All right, no announcements. In that case, let us move on to our main topic today, which is DCC team, James Chartrand, Carrie Lemoy, Alex Higuera, myself, mostly James, are going to be presenting on a couple of interrelated topics. Specifically, we want to talk about the course of study extension to the Open Badges version 3. Specification. This is for diplomas, right? So you have a major and you have a course of study. How do we, and currently there isn't a flexible way to express that. So how do you express it using open badges? Well, it turns out that open badges has an extension mechanism where that you can use to add custom fields like this. Fun fact, Carrie Lemoy was the one who originally created the extension mechanism for the original Open Badges specification. It's changed since then, but the idea is the same, so we're going to talk about how the extension mechanism works in general. And though it's not exactly an extension, but it's a related topic, we're going to talk a little bit about internationalization, localization, and specifically multi-language fields in Open Badges. All right, over to you. Before we get started, I see James is setting up. James, we can see your screen nicely. Does anybody have any questions before we get started? All right, over to you, James.
Okay. Thanks, Dimitri. Everyone can see my screen share, okay?
Yes.
Great. So, as Dimitri said, this is all about extending OBD3 to support degree minors and majors. So to be able to, in an OBD3, not just say that this OBD3 is for a degree, but to list the minors and majors that go along with it. So today, I'm going to be getting into the code a little bit, so into the weeds a little bit. And
one
I'm
second,
assuming,
James.
Yep.
We may have lost your screen share. I'm not sure if it's just me or if anybody else has lost it as well.
I can hear you. Oh. Right.
Can you see it? Is it back?
Yes. Yeah, I can see the slides, James.
Okay, yep. All right, so if anybody else, like myself, faces this, just refresh. You should be able to. Or if all else fails, try switching browsers. Go ahead, James.
Okay. Right. So as I was saying, it's going to be in the weeds a little bit with OBD3s, and I'm kind of assuming that people, you know, have a bit of a background with Open Badges version 3. But if you don't, and at any point something I've said is confusing, just, you know, go ahead, drop a line in the chat, or just speak up and ask me to explain. All right. So first, the DCC is DCC stands for Digital Credentials Consortium, which was founded in 2018. It includes 14 members, so 14 universities that are spread across 7 countries. The team, as Dimitri mentioned, Carrie Lemoy, Gillian Walsh, Alex Higuera, James Chartron, that's me, and of course, Dimitri. And just very quickly, a quick slide about kind of the point of the DCC or the goals of the DCC. And, you know, just in short, it's to advance the use and understanding of portable, verifiable, digital academic credentials in higher ed. And we've got a few different areas in which we try to do that with first member support and leadership, providing open source software, co-development, vendor advocacy, and case studies. We're involved in the community, like this call, the VCEDU call, involved with the Open Wallet Foundation, open badges and open recognition, and we provide some amount of deployment support for the code that we provide. We're involved in research, issuer registry, PDF rendering, wallet-attached storage, and issuer, and we also provide issuer load testing for some of our services. And, of course, advocacy and education, so a higher ed accelerator, white papers, and a blog. Here are links to some of the software that we provide. You can take a look at it. I'm going to flip through this pretty quickly, but I'm including it in the slides so that if anybody comes back to the slides later, they can get to this fairly quickly. All right, so because the DCC is a group of academic institutions, it's probably therefore not so surprising that one of the main credentials that we're concerned with is the degree, the university degree. And so the question then becomes, if we're going to issue a university degree as an open badge, version 3, it turns out that simply saying that it's a bachelor's degree or a bachelor of science degree or what have you isn't likely going to be enough. So in many cases, the institutions will also want, the registrars at the institutions will also want to indicate minors and majors. And so these are some of the examples here of minors and majors that could be issued alongside a degree. So you could have a single minor, say, in microbiology. You could have a major in genetics. You could have a major in genetics and a minor in microbiology. Or you could have a double major in genetics and microbiology and possibly also a minor to go along with that. And then also sometimes people, rather than calling it a minor or a major, might call it concentration. And, of course, there are going to be other variants to go along with that as well. So then, can we use existing OBV3 terms from the OBV3 existing vocabulary to describe our minors and majors? It turns out there's nothing specific. There isn't a minor and a major specific, a term specifically for either of those. There are two terms that are pretty close and could be used. So those are field of study, which is defined as the category, subject, area, study, discipline, or general branch of knowledge. Examples include business, education, psychology, and technology. And specialization, which has a similar definition. Both of these terms are single strings. So if we wanted to therefore describe both a major and a minor, or two majors or two minors, we have to stuff all of that into the single string. Which we could do. We could have the string delineated across some of the different terms using things like colons and commas or semicolons. But if we did that, then we would later need, when parsing the information and also therefore when rendering the information, we would need to have special handling. So any verifier that was checking one of these credentials and therefore providing, you know, a display of what was contained within the credential would have to know how we had decided to format the information, stuff it into the string. And you can see that over time, if you're kind of overloading the term that way, then a lot of special handling is going to end up built into verifiers, which, you know, is probably not a good thing as far as ongoing maintenance goes. Additionally, overloading could affect the interoperability of the terms, because if one issuer might be using field of study simply as a single string, but within their single string, they happen to have a colon, then when it comes time to parse the string, the special handlers that we have built in might get confused. So you can see overall that probably not the best idea to try to overuse or overload these two terms, field of study and specialization. So we prefer to use specific terms. And in particular, it happens to be that the CTDL, the Credential Transparency Description Language, already has some terms defined that do exactly what we want. They've got degree minor, degree major, and additionally concentration. So given that these do what we want, how can we use them with our OBV3? Turns out there is an extension mechanism for OBV3s, which is defined at that link. And it's relatively straightforward. To add new terms to an OBV3, we effectively have to define two things. We have to define a new JSON-LD context and a new JSON schema. And it's really just the parts of the context and the schema that we need specifically for our new terms. And our two new contexts and schemas will get merged into the existing OBV3 JSON-LD context and JSON schema as part of the single OBV3 that we issue. They basically, our new definitions get combined into the existing OBV3 definition. Okay, so first, the JSON-LD context. This is pretty interesting. It turns out with JSON-LD 1.1, there is the idea of a scoped context. And there are two kinds of scoped context. There's a property scoped context and a type scoped context. The property scoped context is probably the one that you would intuitively, that's how you would assume it would work, is that if you've got a given term that you're using as a property, then any properties defined on that term will inherit the context. But there's at least one side effect of using those property scope contexts, which is that once you set the terms, they carry through on the context beyond the life of that one term. But fortunately, there's the type scoped context, and this is interesting, and it requires looking at it a little bit or wrapping your head around something that can be a little hard to understand at first. At least I found it a little bit hard to understand at first. The idea here is that we, let me skip to the next one. So this is actually an example of the context extension from the OBV3 spec. So the idea is that you define in your context a new term, and in this case you can see they've called it my custom achievement, and still within the context definition, and this is what's called the expanded context definition of that term, my custom achievement, you can further refine the context or define the context for that specific term. And so that's what they've done here. They've defined another context that applies to my custom achievement, and it says that now I've got two new terms, my field and another field, that can be used kind of with my custom achievement. And so taking that example, we can apply it to our case. And so here what I've done is I'll just switch back there. So my custom achievement, I've changed to bachelor degree. And the my field and another field, I've changed to degree minor and degree major. And in each of those cases, I've pointed the identifier for the new term at the CTDL URI for that term. Okay, so again, just to summarize, this is effectively saying that if you've got a bachelor degree, expect to see a degree minor or a degree major used within the context of that bachelor degree. And it will only apply within the context of that bachelor degree. And now here's the interesting part. Here's how it gets used in an actual OBV3. So this is a snippet of a badge that would be issued to somebody. And, you know, in particular, this would be issued as an attestation that somebody had received their bachelor's degree in biology. I've taken out a lot of the bits in the middle just so that I could fit it all on the slide. But the fundamental bits I've put in bold and up at the top in green. So first off, up at the top, you can see You can see up at the top in the context that we have added our new context. That URL, example, dccconsortium.org, degree context, 001.json, which doesn't exist, by the way. It's just up there as an example. That would point at a file that contains the prior snippet that we defined. So this bit here. And so then when this OBV3 is being parsed, JSON-LD parser will know from the context definition that it needs to include our new bit of JSON and combine it in with the other two contexts that are part of the OBV3. Having done that...
One sec, James. I think Jim might have a question.
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Jim.
Question. That was a mistake on my keyboard. Sorry.
No problem. carry on.
Very good. So we've defined the context, it's been merged in, and now you can see lower down where the bachelor degree has been boldened there, in the achievement type. This is the magic that happens. So this is where what we're saying is that if there is an achievement whose type is bachelor degree, then the context for that achievement term should now includes the context that we defined in our snippet, which includes the two new terms, degree minor and degree major. So this is why it's called a type-scoped context, because we're using the term within the type of the achievement, it's scoping based on the type. And it's really pretty cool because it also means by using type-scoped context, it also means that we've restricted our new terms only to that achievement term. It doesn't, bleed out into any other parts of the context. So pretty cool. All right. So that was the OBV3 context, and maybe I'll pause there and ask if anybody has any questions about that. I'm about to go into the JSON schema part of it.
Go ahead, Carrie.
I was actually reading the chat, and I was wondering if we could call on maybe Simone and Federico to tell us a little bit about what they're chatting about, just to take a break for a second. Yep. Sorry to call you all out, put you on the spot here. If you wouldn't mind sort of explaining how you've been doing this in the past. And if not, it's okay.
I think Federico might have more up-to-date answer, and maybe Federico, if you have an example of a badge published on Bester that has a minor in the title, that would be great, but I'll let you take it away.
But we could come back to this later. I don't mean to interrupt here. I just thought this was an interesting discussion in the chat too. Just wanted to point it out.
Yeah, I don't have too much more to go before because the JSON schema part of it is a little bit easier, a little bit more straightforward. And then we can, I can stop sharing my screen and then people would maybe find it a little bit easier to share their examples. Okay. So that was the context part of it. And again, there are two parts. There's the JSON-LD context and there is the JSON schema. So we've done the context. We need to do the schema. The schema is relatively, at least again, I found it to be relatively easier to understand because there isn't this idea of scoping the type. It's just simply basically that we define the degree minor and the degree major within the structure of a standard OBV3. So you can see this new snippet of ours simply reproduces the structure of an OBV3 with the credential subject, the achievement, And then under those, we have our new degree minor and our degree major. Here in this example, I've actually put in the minor as an array, and I've put the major in as a single string, just to show that, you know, there are different ways that we could do it. Chances are it would be an array because, you know, we could have, somebody could have degree, double majors, double minors, or what have you. Okay. Oh, one other thing about this is that you can see up at the top where there's the ID that points at HTTPS, your URL, your schema. Again, as with the context, we're going to have to publish our new JSON snippet somewhere. So we'll have to put it up at a public URI that can be accessed by the JSON parsers. Okay, so to include the two new bits that we've created into one of our OBV3s, we already saw how to do that with the JSON context. We put it up into the context. It's a similar kind of thing for the JSON schema. In the credential schema property of the OBV3, where you can see the standard schema is included, we just add one more definition, and that's ours. And it, again, just points at where we've published our schema. And here is a full OBV3 showing all of it put together. So there's nothing different here from what I've shown before. It's just all been put together. Again, up at the top, you can see the inclusion of the JSON snippet we created. Down at the bottom, the degree schema, the JSON schema that we added. Sorry, at the top is the context. Down at the bottom is the schema. And then the use of the degree minor and the degree major within the achievement, because the scoping on the degree allows us to do that within the achievement. I've also here included, just for the sake of discussion, two other degree types. So this shows how we could, if we wanted to, use some of the other CTDL terms. These are all CTDL terms, the degree, bachelor degree, and bachelor of science degree. So we could, within the type, include, in this case, all three of those, just to provide both interoperability, potentially, but also a little bit more specificity. So it could be that somebody that's parsing, taking one of these OBV3s might only recognize the degree part of it, or they might only be concerned about the degree part of it. But they might want to know that it's a bachelor's degree, or more specifically, a bachelor of science degree. So we could include all of them. And finally, along the same lines, this last slide here just shows that we could include degree, but we could also include doctoral degree. And if we did that, we might want to have another context definition and another schema definition for doctoral degree that includes the two terms supervisor and dissertation. And the point of showing that is, again, just to show that this type scoping is very nice, and it allows us to associate the terms with just those degrees to which they relate or apply. But you can, therefore, from this, imagine that any other terms that we might want to define, we can do in a very similar way and slot them into the appropriate degree type. And that is it. So if anybody has any questions, I'll just leave this up here for a moment. And if anybody wants to continue looking at it or has questions specifically about that, if not, then I'll stop sharing my screen, and anybody that wants to show examples of their own can do so.
Thank you so much, James. Yeah, leave it up for a bit. First up, we have Merul on the queue.
Hi, James. Thank you so much for your presentation. I have more so a comment and a question, which is, it's just combined in a way. I saw that the whole raison d'etre for adding this extension in a way was to be able to provide more context information about degrees. But my question is more so towards extensibility of it. It's not about the problem which you're tackling now, but for the future. Have you considered maybe, instead of limiting these fields like supervisor or dissertation, or things like minor degree and major degree, to string or string arrays, or rather just also being able to map them to certain objects which might contain more details about those things in particular, for the future, not for now, to be honest. This just stems from the fact that just having a string at the moment is a very limiting data format. But if maybe this was an object, you could extend that in the future. It's just a comment and a question. Like, it's kind of mixed. I just want to pick your brain on that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, and absolutely. I mean, this is just a very, very basic example. And it wasn't so much meant to, what I've shown, it wasn't so meant to propose a, although, you know, maybe it's a starting point for what could go into a degree model. But it was more just to demonstrate how the extension works. And so absolutely, the supervisor and the dissertation most likely would end up being objects where you could provide a little bit more information about the different bits that go into it. And I think what you've mentioned also brings up the other point that if the DCC created these new contexts and these new JSON schema definitions and we published them at one of our, at a DCC URL, then it might not be so easy for others to modify that later. I would expect that, and maybe this is something that somebody on the call could answer because I don't know. maybe there is a, maybe OBV, the one EdTech people or the OBV3 spec, can host extensions directly themselves. I don't know. And again, maybe somebody on the call can answer that.
So I have a couple of thoughts on this, but we have Shavi from One EdTech on the queue next. So go ahead. And if you're talking, we can't hear you. I think you might be muted.
Sorry, now?
Yep, now we can. Go ahead.
I was on mute and it's Monday and it's late. Sorry. No, thank you for this presentation. I always wanted to add something about the JSON schema part. So the goal behind having the payload specify the JSON schema is to allow verifiers to basically check this data, this whole payload against the schema of your extension. So verifiers can check that the data at least conforms to your required fields, etc. So what it's important here is that since you are extending an unnested element of the OV payload, in that case, the achievement, and it could be a common mistake is to allow additional properties to the all top element, all the ancestor of this nested element. So in your schema, credential subject must have the additional properties set to true in order to allow JSON schema verifiers to basically check that all the other fields added by your other extensions.
Right. Yeah, and I did see that the additional properties true was used in the example in the OBV spec. But I also thought I discovered somewhere that additional properties is by default true, which is why I took it out. And I also took it out just so that I could fit the code on the slide is actually the bigger reason, but.
Okay. No, that's fine. That's fine. I didn't see you, and then it was just to raise that because there are some, there is this potential problem as well. Related to the extension registry, it's something we have discussed in some meetings. The idea is to have some sort of registries, basically because not only the extension name, but also the types. It's something that we can just list in a registry because if you have an extension with the same type and the same entity, there can be some conflicts there.
Right, right.
Go ahead, Simone.
To follow up on the need for an extensions registry, we discussed this a few times before. Apparently, there are already extensions in the wild that might solve problems that others are experiencing. For example, we're talking about majors and minors here, but like in Europe, SERF has extended the open badges spec to accommodate for ECTS elements or other EU-specific requirements, which would be great to make available to anyone that wants to use them in Europe. Another example is creating a set of micro-credential extensions. This is something that we touched on with the work, the mapping work that we did with Credential Engine. So, you know, I think it's worthwhile, you know, addressing this maybe within OneAttack or as another shared initiative between this group and OneAttack. So, yeah, definitely I see more of this coming.
Great, thank you. I don't know, Dimitri, if there are other questions.
So there's nobody on the queue. Oh, go ahead, Carrie.
And this is more for a note for James, but also all is in another way we should also look at this is how Credential Engine can be used, the CTDL properties as an alternative to this. So that's something else that we can continue to explore at DCC. I think Phil Barker linked to the credential alignment object on the left there. And it's very viable to use CTDL properties with open badges. Just that our first task here was to really consider what an extension would look like so that we could start, you know, moving that work forward, maybe add open badges in a subsequent version, as Nate noted earlier too. So I just wanted to say that. So thank you, James, for getting us started here.
I see Deb on the queue. And just to clarify, so that's another great topic that's related to this, that what happens if you come across another ontology such as CTDL that, or the European Learning Model that has these terms defined, how do you reconcile it with open badges? And you do it in the exact same mechanism that James just went over. You add the context in the context field, and you create a schema for it. Go ahead, Deb.
Yeah, so I get the value of this extensions work, so don't interpret anything I'm going to say as not valuing this. But a shortcut that we recommend is to use a CTID or some other URI reference to more data in CTDL so that within that badge, anyone who wants to link to additional information to unpack it can do it via the linked data. So it's that trade-off, right, of like how much is in the digital credential itself and how much does a tool, you know, an AI tool, any kind of tool use a link to go out and get additional information to interpret this specific credential.
Thanks, Deb. So this is an excellent opportunity because I want to understand this myself as well. James, if you could go back to the final slide, the example.
Can I just very quickly, the reason I went back to this slide is just to show that, you know, these new terms, bachelor degree, degree minor, and degree major, are CTDL terms. And the ID that's defined for each of them in the new context does point back to CTDL. So when the context, you know, when the JSON ILD document as a whole is expanded, you would see the URLs pointing back to CTDL.
Yeah, sorry, let me clarify. It's our, you know, here it's looking up, you know, what does bachelor degree mean in CTDL? Talking about a CTID that links to additional information about this credential, not this specific credential issued to this specific person, but for example, the bachelor's degree in genetics at Stanford University is what the CTAB would link to. And then you get all the information about the program, right. The courses, the organization, the accreditation, all of that would be part of the link data.
So to follow up on that question, where would the CTAD go in this OBV3?
Yeah, that was going to be my question too.
Yeah. So it goes, I'm sorry, I get confused between 2 and 3. In the alignment field, is there still an alignment field in 3? It's actually in the OB3 spec in terms of where to put that link to the additional CTDL about this specific credential.
And what you're describing, I mean, it would sit, it wouldn't replace the, you know, what I've described today. It would sit alongside that, right? It would be an additional piece of information.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. In other words, you put as much information, just in very simple layman's terms, you put as much information as you want to in the badge itself, including these types of extensions. And you optionally also create a link out to link to data that provides, you know, broad and deep contextualization of that credential.
Right.
Yeah, I think it would be really helpful if somebody could, Debbie mentioned that it's in the open badges. If you could link to the example or the section in the spec where there's an example of CTID, I think it might be of interest to a lot of us developers here.
I don't know if there are more questions, but I know Carrie wants to talk about language and OBV trees.
Before we move on to language, I want to make sure, I forget whose question it was, Merrill's or somebody else's, about so where should extensions be hosted, right? And as always, it's a dynamic tension. It's a tension between, on the one hand, we want implementers to not be blocked by standards bodies, right? Somebody needs to do a degree, or whatever. They need to add a field. They should be able to feel free to add an extension mechanism, which is why the extension was created. On the other hand, the opposite tension is we want our extensions to be interoperable. The whole point of a degree is that it can be consumed, in a standard manner among a lot of institutions. So towards that, even if we use the OBV3 extension mechanism, there's considerable advantage to hosting it somewhere discoverable and, you know, documenting it and then disseminating it, saying, okay, if you're doing anything with regards to degrees, please consider using this extension. And there, you would want to start the conversation. You'd want to talk to one edtech and say, hey, would you consider hosting this extension? Or you'd want to come to us at VC Edu and say, all right, how about can we add this extension to the CCG extension registry, for example? I know DIF, Decentralized Identity Foundation, is starting up a registry of like example credential schemas. So that might be another organization or place to host the extension. So just wanted to make sure that we touched on whether extensions should be hosted or not, or where. And at the moment, it's a conversation each time. Go ahead, James.
Well, just additionally, if there is a central registry, it might absolve those who are creating new extensions from having to host their extension in perpetuity. You know, like, so, if you define an extension, so say with some university defines an extension to OBV3 and they publish it up at their university domain and they start issuing degrees that refer to that in the context, then they've got to keep that up there forever. Which they might have difficulty doing. And there could be a real potential for that to go away, in which case the credential probably wouldn't validate anymore. So putting it up into a registry that you know has got a better guarantee that it will be maintained longer term, you know, also has some additional benefits.
Absolutely. Does anybody else have questions about this topic of hosting extensions? Go ahead, Deb. I see you on the speaker queue. I don't know if it's from previous or if you have another question.
Oh, sorry. That was from before.
Oh, no worries. Yep. Not a problem.
So maybe I'll stop screen sharing and pass it off to Carrie.
Sure, I'll take it from here. Thank you, James. Appreciate this. Okay, so one of the other things we've been exploring is at DCC is how to do multilingual credentials. We have members in the United States. We actually have more members outside of the United States. And also within the United States, there's definitely a need for multilingual credentials. And this is something that typically our community hasn't really done that much of. And it's something the DCC would like to do more of in the future. So I just sort of today wanted to show you like what we've been learning about the difference between how verifiable credentials does international considerations, multilingual credentials, and how open badges does. And at some point, these might get aligned, which is why it's like good to start talking about it now. I also want to like thank Nate Otto, who's been like really looked into this before. And, you know, we've been able to talk about this a little bit to help inform this discussion. I don't have nice slides like James, so I'm just going to pull up a doc that I created with some links that you all can access and provide comments on it if you'd like to. Let me share my screen here. Okay. Okay, is that working?
Yes, we can see you. Go ahead.
Dimitri. Okay, so first thing I wanted to just show you is how it works with verifiable credentials. First, and we're not going to go into this too much, verifiable credentials provides a way to do language direction. I don't think Open Badges does that yet. I couldn't find it in the spec, but definitely pipe up if there is a way yet or a plan to do that yet, but I couldn't find it. This is an example of how verifiable credentials does this. One, you can include a language descriptor, in the text. So the title is a property, and then the value is this, and the language is this. And I'll get into more details. But the multi-language, there's the option to do this, where you have an array. Right, so you can see that this is very much based on each property. Okay, let me go down here for this example. So, sorry about that. So, here we have, the name of the achievement, for instance. And in this way they've done it, and the way they've done the criteria narrative here is to put the language descriptors here, language tags, which I'm going to ask questions about later for those who may have experienced this before. So that's the difference. That's how verifiable credentials does it, right? Is providing it within the property, which is different than how.
One second.
Oh, sorry.
One second. I think you may be just sharing this tab, so I don't think we saw.
Oh, I'm sorry. You don't
see no worries.
The tab. Oh, that's such a bummer. I was like pointing to things and.
Yeah. No worries. No worries.
Let me see if I can get that back for you. I didn't realize it was per tab. Oh, window. Let's do window. That is a better option. Sorry, y'all. Okay. I'll go back to just what I was saying in the last part, which is that verifiable credentials seems to lean towards doing the language, the different languages within each property type. Okay.
So one second. I think Jitsi crashed briefly, so people are rejoining. Sure. Give a couple seconds for people are reconnecting.
Let me know if I need to reshare the screen again.
I think we see the screen. At least I do.
Okay. I think most people are back.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Sorry about that. First, I was showing you the wrong tab, and now I've switched to showing you the screen. So what I was saying here was that in verifiable credentials, they lean towards using the language tag and the value per language tag on a property type level, right? So you can see that name criteria. Now in open badges, it's a different approach. And let me go to just Nate's example. Nate Otto made this great example for us, where instead you have the achievement, right? And so within the achievement is the initial achievement description, and then there's a related achievement. And then the related achievement has its own ID. The type is related. It's an achievement. It has its own language. And then it has, the translation of the original achievement. So those are the two different approaches that they both take. So I just sort of wanted to point that out. I don't have any opinions or anything on which way is better or however. I mean, I'm Verifiable Credentials 2.0 just came out, so I don't think they'll be making any changes soon. It might be that we'll be doing more work on Open Badges versions sooner than they will. I think making it possible for folks to understand both of these, for verifiers to understand that is possible so that we can start doing more multi-language credentials would be great. And lastly, before I stop and then welcome to all of your thoughts and discussions, please, is that verifiable credentials references this list. This is a list someone made, but they reference our RFC 5646 for the language tags. And verifiable credentials references BCP 47, which also references 5646, and they look very similar. So I was wondering if anybody on this call understood the difference and why, if they are the same or if they're not the same and they're just referenced in different ways. Would love to hear your expertise on that. And that was it. Does anybody have any sort of thoughts, questions, would you like to sort of talk about like how you would approach this? What you like better? What you prefer? And I'll stop sharing my screen just so we don't worry about bandwidth here. Nate, you're in the queue. Sorry, Nate, you're in the queue. Would you like to chime in?
Sure. Yeah, I can take a quick stab. I just wanted to mention some history on the open badges approach. We had created this idea of a related thing back in version 2.0, I think, 2016, 2017. And it may be that there's some trade-offs here, basically. The ability to express a string property value where you have multiple languages that you want to express. There's several different ways to do it. And I think the decision to stay using the Open Badges 2.0 approach instead of adopting the sort of more pure JSON-LD approaches was mainly about the implementation costs for the verifier side software. If they have to support multiple possible ways for a string to be expressed. Sometimes it's a string. Sometimes it's an array of strings. Sometimes it's an object with keys that are language tags that are, the values are strings or arrays of strings. And sometimes it's an array of like at language, at value, at direction, labeled things. That's just a lot of variation of JSON structure that we would have to cover in both the validation schema and in any verifier side software. And so I think for 3.0, the decision to keep with the related method where the schema is a lot simpler and more predictable was the way that was chosen. But if there's other good examples of credentials or even extensions to open badges that are using the other approaches, I think that would be a really great place to experiment with some of these other ways of expressing multiple language values. And that would really inform the discussion when it comes back around to Open Badges 3.1.
That's really interesting. Thank you for that history, Nate. I know there's others in the queue. I have a question for you. You probably would know this, and others might wonder too. If both were included in a credential, so say it was an open badge and the verifiable credential method was used and the open badge related methods was used, would that break the verification of open badges?
So for example, if the achievement name property, you wanted to express two different language values for that. Open Badges says that achievement name must be a string. And so if you are trying to use a language map where instead of a string, you're putting in a little object with curly braces and inside it, there's an EN
property that has a string and there's an FR property that has a string, you will not be compliant with the Open Badges 3.0 schema, and also verification software that's built to understand the Open Badges spec won't be able to render the name property most likely, unless it has also been specifically modified to accept this non-standard thing. I think essentially it is a violation of the Open Badges schema, and so it wouldn't be a valid Open Badge.
Interesting. Okay, thank you.
Federico, go ahead.
Hi, everybody. Just an observation. We are interesting in the middle of two worlds because we have implemented European digital credential thanks to Illico, and where we have the object structure with language tags inside. I think this is the most human readable thing. And now I, Carrie had anticipated us the proposal of the related achievement. And I have an opinion now. I just had some doubts. One is, which is the most scalable? If you have to assign a five language credential, in the case of JSON object, I just add the lines. In the other case, I would have to multiply by five the achievements. And so since, Kerry, you told us that the length of the JSON is a problem to compose the QR code, so my doubts are which is the heaviest form of implementing.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Dimitri, you might know. I don't know. Remember the exact number amount of data that can go into a CBOR, right? CBOR.
Yeah, I can talk to that.
But yeah, that's a really good point. So for the DCC code and the wallet code, we don't use the embedded QR codes. We just use right now either Chappie or a deep link to the VC API to open up the wallet to accept a credential. But that it really is a good point, is there is a lot more information that has to be added for related versus just adding the strings for each property.
Yeah. So we've got several interrelated issues here. One is
Hey, Dimitri, you're muted again, I think.
Whoops, thank you. Okay, so we've got several interrelated issues here. One is there is at least two, probably three or more, different mechanisms for doing internationalization. There is the Open Badges related mechanism. There is the VC 2.0 language tag mechanism. I forget what European Learning Model does for internationalization, but probably something similar. So that's thing one. We need to, as an ecosystem and as a community for interoperability, decide which of these mechanisms we support or if we can standardize on one and so on. And as Nate pointed out, currently it's not possible to, use the VC 2.0 model of internationalization with Open Badges because of the JSON schema restriction. One of the things that would have to happen there is maybe in the next iteration of Open Badges, the types will have to be expanded to use, you know, either string or a multi-string object. So that's issue one. Another issue is which of these mechanisms is lighter weight versus makes the credentials too large. And then a third separate issue is what do we do about QR codes? So I want to talk about QR codes super quick, which is, so you're absolutely right that QR codes only have about 4,000 characters, 4,000 bytes limit. And as you get close to that limit, the harder it is for people to scan. They must hold their phone still for you know, more seconds for the phone to be able to take in all of that information. So what I've essentially seen is that unless your credential is very small, like the proof of age credential, for example, our credentials are going to be too big for QR codes to embed them entirely. And everything that I've seen of ELM credentials, they're too big. And the sealing mechanism is also too big to fit comfortably into a QR code. That's okay. It's still possible to embed if your credential is small enough. More importantly, even if you have a big credential, and if you have like inline images or just lots of text, let's say the credential is your transcript, right? I forget what the spec is called. The V2 spec that is the entire education, object. The solution there is to host it somewhere and put the URL into the QR code. So you sort of have the best of both worlds, right? You can refer to credentials with QR codes, but still have larger credentials than you can fit into the limit. Okay, so it looks like, yeah, all right. So Ildiko points out in chat that European Learning Model also uses the same mechanism as VC2.0, which is language tags. Yeah, and Ildiko says that there's QR codes for European credentials. I suspect they're links rather than embedding.
This is very interesting as we start considering, you know, approaches for this. This is interesting. Sorry, I have nothing more to say. I'm only just sort of like intrigued now by this topic even more than I was before today.
Yeah, this is a great topic. This is hard. All right, we are nearing the top of the hour. Sounds like there's interest in further conversation on internationalization of multi-language credentials. And further conversation about extensions and how to align the field of study mechanism, how to align with the European Learning Model, with open badges, and so on. So thank you, everybody, for a really great discussion. Carrie, yes, please do start a thread on VC Edge, your mailing list. And Ildiko points out in chat that transcript with 10 subjects is about 900 kilobytes. So yeah, it gets up there.
I should also mention that I believe, and I can confirm, I know we're at time, but that the open badges example probably is also how it's implemented with CLR. I just thought of that because it mentioned transcripts. So.
Right. CLR is a bundle of individual open badges and it could serve this use case with majors and minors represented as smaller component credentials within a larger CLR.
Right. Thank you. All right. Thank you so much for hosting us today, everybody. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Cheers.